I've been impressed in the service thus far with the emphasis on the seriousness of life, the truth of God's word, the accuracy in which God wished to convey his message of truth to us and to draw us to him. And my message this morning, it's my desire that that will clinch the nails and reiterate the truth that we've already heard about life. And I'm going to start out with an experience that I had to introduce this that helped me to continue on with realizing that God is God, God loves me, and I'm safe and secure in his control, and the unexpected doesn't matter as much as my connection with God matters. About a year and a half ago, I took a spur-of-the-moment plane trip from the west to the east, and the occasion was my son-in-law in Georgia was in line for an ordination. They're having ordination services, and I wanted to be there when I found out that he was the one to be ordained. So I hopped on a plane, as I say, at short notice, and this was my itinerary. My itinerary was to depart from Portland, Oregon, and land ultimately at Gainesville, Florida. And there was three flights involved, both going and coming, and those flights were from Portland to Phoenix, Arizona, Phoenix, Arizona to Charlotte, North Carolina, and Charlotte then to Gainesville, Florida. And the return was just exactly the opposite. But on both of those trips, both the departing trip from Portland and the return trip, something out of the ordinary happened. I've come to realize that flying American Airlines maybe increases the chances for those things to happen, but that's not as significant to me as the lessons and the reminders. And being a preacher and an old one at that, why, I'm conscious of details, and what do those details mean, and how can a collection of details contribute to my understanding about God and my conclusions about where I stand with God. All right, further on the story. Traveling east, time in Charlotte, that seemed to be the glitch going both ways. Charlotte, North Carolina was where the glitch was. But traveling east, my time in Charlotte allowed 1 hour from the touchdown of my incoming flight until the departure takeoff of my outgoing flight. And in that hour, there was four things that were to happen. First off, when we came to the end of the runway from our landing, it seemed like we were out of town. It seemed like all I could see was trees and grass, and there wasn't any sign of the airport. So we turned around, headed back to the airport, and it was miles, and it didn't seem to me like we were going very fast. So that was the first thing, to fill up more time in that hour than what I was expecting. The second detail was, I was sitting on, I believe, row 35. I was near the tail of the plane, and anyone who flies in today's world knows that it takes a long time to get off the plane if you're in the back, because of all the stuff that people stow and needs to be retrieved before walking off the plane. So that was the second detail. The third detail, I found that when I got into the gate inside, I found that I was at the extreme end of concourse. I was at the extreme end of concourse A, and my departure out of Charlotte was at the opposite far end of Concourse E. And the sign said it was 15 minutes between those two points. Well, I walked as fast as I could go. I didn't run, but I walked as fast as I could go, and I cut that to, I think, maybe about 11 minutes. The fourth detail was that I needed a restroom stop. And I wanted to keep, of course, all those four things in priority and needed to determine how those priorities were. Well, going on from that, I was the next to last person on my flight from Charlotte to Gainesville. And of course, one of the advantages of being next to last on the flight, on the plane, is that you get to see the faces of probably 99 and about 0.7% of the other passengers on the plane. So you know who you're riding with. All right, traveling west, the flight again from Charlotte to Phoenix was delayed over 2 hours. First off, because of mechanical problems on the plane. And secondly, from a need to switch planes. So that required a plane to be available with a crew and time. So I knew that it was unlikely that I'd make my flight. I hoped that maybe they would travel faster and maybe we'd make it, but we didn't. So in Phoenix, the late arrival, I missed my flight to Portland, and American Airlines lodged me in a fine hotel overnight, and I went home the next morning. The title of my sermon this morning is Flying There Begins Here, and that's a cliche from an American Airlines service napkin. Flying there begins here. As far as American Airlines is concerned, that cliche is about traveling on an airplane from a starting point to a destination that is in a different location. That's probably about the extent of what that means to American Airlines. But again, being a preacher, I'm thinking, and I'm starting to think sermon from my experience. So, to me, that cliche of flying there begins here, and the rest of this message is going to combine flight details with life details. So try to gather the life details from my flight details. So here's some things that I thought about that title means in life, but combining that with flight details. It designates a specific kind of transportation. It claims definite choice. It implies planning. It asks for attentiveness. It suggests purpose. It offers security. It includes directives and restrictions. And because of unknowns, it likely has risks of change and disappointment. I kept adding those details as I went because the details of the flight changed and provided me ever more lessons to learn and to make spiritual applications to myself from. Well, again, as you know, before any flight, and likely as it's being pushed away from the gate, in every flight, why, a flight attendant gives her speech or his speech. And that's about safety, generally. It's about oxygen masks and things like that. Sitting in your seat, keeping your seat belt fastened, flotation devices, and following instructions. And I heard something on that flight that I don't think I'd ever heard before. The flight attendant said that failure to comply with instructions could cause one to be removed from the aircraft. Well, I assumed that the flight attendant meant while we were still on the ground. But to follow instructions and to be removed from the flight. We studied this morning in our Sunday school lesson about consequences because of not paying attention. Now, the flight attendant didn't say anything about delays, about cancellations, about rescheduling, but the usual, sit back, relax, and enjoy the flight, which I did. I did. I enjoyed all the flights. I haven't ever had a flight yet that I didn't enjoy or was, in my opinion, was not a good flight. I'm prejudiced. I enjoy flying. But comparing trip details with details of traveling on the journey of life, I just found a lot of parallels, and I'd like to try to concentrate on those further now. And so from my title of flying there begins here, why I'll interpret the word flying somewhat loosely, which simply meaning to travel in life. And sometimes we talk about the journey, meaning our experiences as we live, our experiences as we go from one day to another day, one experience to another experience. And some days are especially enjoyable. We might call them highs. And other days may be not so enjoyable, maybe more contemplative. Maybe there's pain, disappointment. But they also contribute to where we're going and how we're going. And I'm assuming in my presentation this morning, and that for all of us, that getting there is the objective. Getting there, that's the most important part. Yes, here is important, but there is the most important. So, a bunch of questions here and some potential applications from those questions, but the two questions that came to me was, number one, where is here and where is there? And secondly, when is here and when is there? Now, just some simple cogitations on that. Back to where. Where is here and where is there? Well, where here could be earth. Genesis 2:15 we read, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden. That was the starting place, wasn't it? That was here. There could be heaven. Being a little simplistic here, John 14:2-3, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That's a good description of there, isn't it? I'd like to be there. I want to get there. Again, where is here? It could be life's experiences. All the things that make up life for you and me during a lifetime. That could be here. And there could be making positive choices and correct interpretations. 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us, the Apostle Paul to Timothy, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now wise there, in looking at the Greek word and what all it means, it calls us to enough or sufficient knowledge about God that we are prepared to make good deductions about how we live. So, wise unto salvation has to do with what we know about God and how we're going to live, because we know something about God. Again, where is here? Well, it could be starting an acquaintance with God. Jesus said in John 3:3 to Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So being born again, that part of one's spiritual experience, that could be here, the starting place that one would go from. And from, going from here to there, there could be completing life as a disciple. Again, 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 and 7, Paul said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Finishing life as a disciple, that could be there. Could be. Looking at all the angles or some of the angles that come into one's focus in trying to make deductions, interpretations, and applications from life's experiences to where I am in my journey with God. That's what I'm endeavoring to do for myself, and hopefully you can identify with that this morning. Well, what about the whens? We tried to contemplate the where of here and there. What about the when? When is here? Well, when of here could be physical birth, and there could be physical death. The when of here could be when I come to God consciousness, when I begin to understand that there's, as a child, that there's more about life, there's more about me than just playing with my toys, eating my meals that mom or dad fixes, going to school or playing outside, whatever it may be. God consciousness. In John 20, verse 28, Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." We know the story. Thomas was reluctant to accept the fact of the resurrection. And he said, "I've got to see it. I've got to touch it before I'll accept it." But when Thomas had the chance, Jesus said, "Yeah, go ahead, Thomas. Go ahead, put your finger in there. Go ahead." Well, we don't read that Thomas did. I don't think he needed to then. Seeing Jesus in his glorified state, all Thomas could do was just let it. He just let himself bask in the fact that here's Jesus. And he said, "My Lord and my God." Well, we're talking about when. When is here? To come to a God consciousness where I really come to realize that God is for me. God wants to touch me. He wants me to accept him. That could be the when of here. But when is the there? Maybe that's when I let God possess me. When I become a possession of God. And Ephesians 2:6 references that, where the Apostle Paul said to the Ephesian congregation, "And hath raised us up together," that's speaking of God or Christ, "hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." That's going on from that beginning elementary knowledge of who God is. That's making it something personal. That's making it something relational with Almighty God. I think that could be the when of the there. Could be. All right, when is here? It could be when I surrender to Christ, when I finally am willing to say, I'm done with self. Self makes a mess of things. Self doesn't take me where I really want to go. I'll let you have control, Jesus. I'll let you come into my heart. I'll let you fill the desires. I'll let you help me with the purposes and help me to find fulfillment where it ought to be. That could be the time, the timing of here. And the timing of there might be when I am stable and intuitive in my obedience, my fruit, my service, and my assignments. Could be. 2 Peter 1:8 says, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Seems to me that that is at least one angle of thinking about when there is. When that has happened in my life, my heart, my intent, my commitment, my surrender. We're talking about flying there begins here. All right, a bunch of questions now. And this is reflection. This is some reflecting that I did as I traveled in those 2 days. Well, it was three by the time I stretched the return into parts of 2 days. And so think about life along with my flight. Does a layover mean that my trip is over? I'm not on the plane, just sitting in the airport, not going anywhere. The clock is ticking. There's no land passing by my window at 6 or 7 or 8 miles a minute. Time's getting away. So while I'm on a layover in life, does that mean that my trip is over? Have no purpose or no destination? Thought about Galatians 4:4, about God's plan for Jesus coming into the world. And we read that in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son. At the right time, when the previous details were completed, when the eras of time were full, then God went to the next one. He took the next step in his plan, and that was to send Jesus, for Jesus to appear as God incarnate, in human form. Fullness of time, the right time, the completion of previous times, if you please. Well, what about delays? What about rescheduling? What about cancellations? What about missing a flight? Do any of those make me stop my trip? Well, it didn't that day or those days. What about in life? You ever have cancellations? You ever miss a flight in life, life's experiences? Does God give cancellations? It may seem like it sometimes. Does getting from here to there need to be by my plans and my expectations? Sit back, relax. If the details of the flights in your journey aren't what you wished for, are you a failure? Can you feel God and be satisfied when he changes your flights? I've learned to experience the blessing of security and fulfillment when he's changed my plans. Several years ago, June and I had our flights arranged to travel to Ohio one morning. And I had had some abdominal pain the night before, but she said, "Shall I pack?" And I said, "Yes." Well, at 4:30 in the morning, instead of beginning an auto trip to the airport, we began an auto trip to the hospital, and I had my appendix removed. So I couldn't fly that day. I had my plans, we had our plans written out, you might say, but God just took his eraser and just erased it. There wasn't any trip that day, or the next, but there was about a week later. But I found that hospital experience to be very rewarding. I got to talk to a number of people that served to me in the hospital. I got to talk to them about what it means to be in God's care and to find security when God changes the plans. Well, I found out about that with this trip to Georgia and back, of some of the details that I've outlined to you. But that's about this question of, can I feel God and can I feel satisfaction when my plans get changed, when my flight gets canceled? Can you? Another question, could God's definition of here and there be different than mine? Do I sometimes lose track of where there really is? Maybe it feels like God walks out of the room, turns the lights off, and shuts the door. Some examples of how that might, what that might mean in my life or your life. Might be the termination of a relationship for a young person. Might be the hopeless confinement of addiction. Or it might be when the heart of a loved one stops beating. Maybe I can't get there from here. A lot of thoughts went through my mind as I traveled those days, and as I thought about it afterwards. How about this one? Could my non-compliance to God's instructions get me removed from this flight? The verse from our lesson text this morning about giving the more earnest heed lest we slip, lest we drift away, just slowly and slightly drift away from where we ought to be. Could my non-compliance to God's instructions get me removed from this flight? Or do I know what the capabilities and limitations of my aircraft are? Questions about flight that I think relate very directly to my life, my view of life, my plans in life. Well, to conclude, how do I keep there in sight in my heart and my life? How do I keep there? There is really the important part of this cliche, this title this morning. Flying there begins here. There is the important thing to keep in mind. How do I keep it? How do I keep it there? Well, several verses. In John 12, verse 32, Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Well, I think there's two meanings there. Certainly, he had to be lifted up on the cross to be visible as an atonement, visible as a sacrifice, visible as offering his life and his blood as atonement for my sins and your sins. That had to happen. He came to earth as a person in a human container so that he would be capable of dying. But going on from that event, that achievement, if you please, of Jesus Christ, then he must be lifted up in my life as preeminent. He must have the highest position in my life if I am going to get there from here. And the fact of Jesus Christ being lifted up in your life and my life will help to in this drawing process that was the mission of Jesus Christ. It was the desire of Jesus Christ for people to come to the knowledge and the life that he demonstrated and that he described. And so if you will lift up Jesus Christ in your life, if you will lift him up in preeminence, other people will be drawn. It will be attractive. It will call attention. Your treasure and your earthen vessel will call attention to the glory who God is and the glory that Jesus Christ is. Well, backing up to Psalms, Psalm 32:8, we read, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. When I was young, you know, about 17, that's about when we know the most that we'll ever know. And we pretty much know it all. But as time goes on, I came to understand that I couldn't see very well. I couldn't see beyond the step that I was taking at the moment. So I needed that eye. I needed that eye that God said he would be for me. He could see on out ahead. I couldn't. And so he would guide me at the moment. He would guide me in the here so that I could get there. The way which thou shalt go. That's something that each of us has a need for. There is a way where each of you here and me that we're to go. And I needed help. I still do. I need help. As an old person, I need help to know which way to go. And sometimes I become very sure that I don't know which way to go. So I need that eye. I need that one who promised that he would. He promised that he'd instruct me. He promised that he'd guide me. And of course, Jesus clarified that by saying that the Holy Spirit would come to instruct, to guide, to teach, to reassure, and to give assurance. Another verse in Philippians 4:11, where Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. It takes the experience of the flight of life, I think, to learn some of these things. To learn about faith and trust. And for me, it took some unexpected things, some hard things, some disappointing things, some painful things to learn about faith and trust and to learn to be content. And Paul said that when, as he was aged, he said that when he was near the end of life, I have learned. And so it takes a long time to learn some of those things. Now, Paul said, I have learned. So, in your life of getting from here to there, have you learned to be content with the expected and the unexpected, with the layovers, with the cancellations, with the rescheduling? Paul said, he said he had. I've learned. Finally, Philippians 4:13, again to the Philippians, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So the capability, the wisdom, the strength, Paul felt that promise personally to him about getting from here to there. So I can do it. I can do all the things, all the details that make up a flight, make up your journey, make up your experiences and your conclusions and your interpretations about life and your commitment and your surrender to Jesus Christ, having him as preeminent in your life. Paul said, I can do all those things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And so that's a fitting conclusion in my mind to this thing of seeking the there from here is Christ which strengthens me. Christ, which is willing to come into this unworthy person, into this unlikely person, into this falling and failing and feeble person, if you please. He's willing to do that so that I can be strong, so that I can walk, so that I can find there. I can see it. I can feel it. Because he's strengthening me. So may God help us. May this be an encouragement to all of you, maybe especially young people, about getting there from here. And some questions to ask yourself to evaluate whether there is in sight, whether you're at the right place to be able to get there. If here is the right place for you to be, well, we're thankful that in all the things we don't know, there's someone that does, and he's willing to walk with us. Okay, let's bow our heads for prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of knowing you. Thank you for making us capable to at least do some depth of thought about life, about what's happening, about who you are, and about what your word says to help us to find the way. And Lord, I pray that each one in the sound of my voice and wherever this may be heard, that there would be the challenge to listen carefully, to commit completely, and to be determined to get there by your grace, by your plan, by your accompaniment, by your indwelling. Thank you so much, Lord, for providing all that you provide for us. And so we commit ourselves to being obedient, faithful servants until Jesus comes. Thank you, in the name of Jesus. Amen.